There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left. Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Let me just do my daily prayer. You know, I always pray.
Oh, I hate grace. Oh, I've always, I hate that we do podcast grace.
A lot as well with my Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima. No, he's doing his. Make sure we're recording this. So that,
it is Ghost of Tsushima.
No, Kissel's working on his Shinto opening prayer for side stories. No, I really appreciate
it. Did you record me? I was doing my prayer.
You were doing a sort of, it's very interesting, the mashup of alcoholism and Shintoism.
I'm doing Tri-January. It's all edibles and now Ghost of Tsushima.
That is very good.
I love the game.
That's very good.
And I'm saying everything right so no one's making fun of me.
No,
because at first I said Ghost of Tsushima and everyone's like, it's Ghost of Tsushima.
You're right.
And now I'm nailing it.
You are nailing it.
Woo.
And I also wanted to commemorate today's episode because honestly, Kissel, how long have we been friends?
Oh my God. 14 years.
14 years. I'm unfortunate. I shouldn't have saved it for the show to do this. Oh,
really? Because we were talking for like an hour before the show. You could have done this.
I needed to do it this way.
Something you want to share. Okay.
I have been burdened with a truth.
Okay.
That I have not been able to share with anyone.
Should
until
I
now.
Start the show before you do this? Or when should we? Do you want to do it up top?
I think I have to do it up top.
Okay.
My name is not Henry Zebrowski.
Well, I've been calling you Henry Zebrowski for so long.
So have many people.
The internet and everyone.
Many people.
Your mom
Almost
does.
Dozens of people.
Seems like your parents named you that. But.
My real name
uh-huh.
is Toronto McKenzie.
Really?
It's my real name.
Really?
And unfortunately, this is not my accent as well.
Really? Yep. What's your real voice?
That's it. That is actually my actual voice. I go,
hey.
And then I say, that's because how you say,
cucumber. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. How you say cucumber? Well, Henry, I'm just
what's
say
my real name?
Toronto. Go back to Henry Zebrowski.
Okay, I guess I'll continue to play this character for longer.
How you say cucumber?
Cucumber.
Oh my goodness! Welcome to Side Stories once again, everybody. Hope you're doing well out there. We are. Oh my goodness! As a country, could we be any better off? We do want to say this.
I submit that we could not. We're doing great. We almost made it a week since the insurrection.
We're not going to talk too much about the insurrection here, although Henry and I were discussing yesterday. We scoured the footage. We looked at photographs after photographs after photographs as if we were trying to find out who killed JFK. And what didn't we see at the Capitol riot? Not one last podcast on the left shirt. So thank you.
Good work.
Not one piece of last podcast merch in the Capitol. Not one piece of last podcast merch is going to end up in the locker waiting for the prisoner to one day wear it again 10 years later after they get out of prison.
The only way will happen again, and mark my words, 2058, Henry Zebrowski, sovereign citizen, when the citizen's army, when Zebrowski citizen army arrives at the Capitol steps, I can only hope we will receive the same cordial greeting that the last group did, to just walk into the Capitol building and just do whatever the hell. The people on the Capitol steps were treated much like the comedy troupe, Capitol Steps. And just allowed to go in there and smear shit all over the walls, unlike the a cappella stylings.
I remember that.
Of Capitol Steps.
The Capitol Steps, just such a fantastic, facetious, political, I believe, a cappella group. I remember when everyone got trampled to death because they wanted to get in to see them perform because that's how good they were.
Oh, Mosi Pelosi, that whole thing she wrote, it was this like weird thing about Pelosi's real, something about her being Italian. It's hilarious when they remind calamari and Benahari.
Hey, that'll work. How you say cucumber? Well, speaking of updates into just the wonderful world, the wonderful country that we live in, prosecutors in the Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell case, they have brought charges of conspiracy to murder children. They have brought those charges against Lori and Chad. The kids are dead, and now Lori and Chad are being charged with conspiracy, but I don't believe they're being charged with murder. The kids are dead. They're being charged with conspiracy.
They're being charged for thinking really hard about it.
Thinking really hard, but then the kids are dead, so why can't they just connect this dot?
I don't know.
Why can't they just jump to conclusions and say they did it? Yes.
They simply just will not accuse them of murdering those kids.
All right. Something's in the water in Idaho. I don't know what it could be. I guess it just takes a while to finally accuse someone of murdering their children after their children are dead. But at this point, we do know they conspired to kill the children. And how sad would that be? You're sitting there. You're conspiring. Oh, we're going to kill these kids.
How do I kill it?
It will kill. And then someone comes in and undercuts you and kills your kids before you could kill your kids. And you were working so hard on the map. And you were working so hard connecting all the dots. How am I going to get away with it? And now some random schlub, some Joe schmoes are going to come over and kill the kids that you were going
to
kill?
Honestly, first of all, number one, I understand your rage. You've been waiting to kill these kids. They were your kids
to kill. Absolutely. Not just waiting, planning.
Waiting and planning, all the mental energy it takes to be in a conspiracy. You have to make sure the doors close. Everyone's got to have the soundproof headphones on. But what's more important is the job has been done, and now what you get to do is just sit back and relax. And that's where I think that if you were going to plan on killing your kids, but then someone else got to it, you know what you need to do?
What?
You need to take a trip to Margaritaville.
Margaritaville. Absolutely.
And speaking of Margaritaville, these young men, they were in Margaritaville, and apparently what they found there was a pile of human bones. They're really excited for this. This takes place in Polk County, Florida, one of the more beautiful counties.
Oh.
It's not.
Is it not?
I'm just going to go out there. We love our Florida listeners, don't we?
I love Florida because Florida, it's just as crazy as every other state, but Florida, with their sunshine laws, they tell us the truth. And how many times you've been on a date and it takes you 5 dates in to realize, oh, this chick probably has sex with corpses. Florida, date number one, sentence number one. I fuck dead bodies. Let me know what you're coming from, and then I can make a decision right off the bat. Am I buying them drinks? Are we going to hang out? Maybe that's a one-night stand.
Honestly,
or maybe it's a marriage.
Let me
know the truth about you. Florida does.
The woman that is building up their way to destroy your life, honestly, is really fun in those first couple of weeks.
Absolutely, because that's the manic fun.
It's the manic fades. But this story is about men. This comes from Polk County, Florida. The one thing about Polk County is that it's one of the landlocked counties in Florida, which is...
Oh, that's sad.
You need the beach. You really need the beach to cut it. Deputies found a shed with a religious shrine and 7 skulls in it. This is in clickorlando.com. So excited to go to Orlando.
And I love that it's called clickorlando.com. What great stories are we going to hear today? Oh, these guys are stealing corpses because they think the energy of an army soldier
is
stronger than a non-army soldier.
So they're
stealing military bodies.
But at least they have faith in our armed services.
That is a good point, actually.
So these men, 43-year-old Brian Montalvo Tolentino and 39-year-old Juan Burgos Lopez, were arrested in Polk County after deputies said that they broke into 4 separate graves and took body parts from each person inside.
Was this a one-night event? Because, let's be honest, grave robbing, I know, yes, obviously it's don't do it, but don't just not do it because it's illegal and immoral. But don't do it because it's hard.
Yeah, it's because the graves are just there all the time.
Yes.
And when they get disturbed, it's really easy to notice because this is a veteran's grave that has been there for about 50 years. And they busted it open with a crowbar. As you can see, the damage on this website, it's literally all fucked up. But the way they found them was that one of them left a cigar at a previous grave robbing that they did where they traced the DNA to one of them and they promptly flipped on his partner. And basically what these guys were doing, this was a Palo Mayombe ritual, which we've talked about ad nauseum, thanks to our Adolfo Constanzo series. But these guys, they said straight up, they wanted to go to veterans because they said they'd be much more powerful. They didn't understand they'd probably be highly noticeable if you rob a grave.
And also,
in a veteran's fucking cemetery.
I have to ask this question. who does have more energy? Those who use that energy in life or those who don't? I would argue a veteran. They're dying in battle.
Oh, you mean to tell me we should use the corpses of people who are great at Call of Duty?
Yes.
So they have the mind of a soldier,
the
body of a bag of Doritos.
Absolutely. Well, that's kind of the point. They were working
Keep
so
save
hard.
Save the energy.
Exactly. So maybe you need to dig up the graves of people who start on My 600-Pound Life, which has now been scooped by the 1,000-Pound Sisters.
1,000-Pound Sisters, which is sad because it should be, if you really wanted to trumpet, if you really wanted to do, can we get a pair of 1,400-Pound Sisters in here?
Is that all?
My 600-Pound Wife, my pick 600-Pound Life had like... That had like 3,600 pounds of people in it.
As we witnessed not just the collapse of our republic, we also witnessed the collapse of television. Do you think that is in TLC? The Learning Channel, by the way. The Learning Channel.
I learned
That's
a lot from that channel.
Be.
I learned that little people can have a farm.
That's awesome.
And you think that would be difficult for how tall horses are.
But then everything also comes in small. So it all works out.
You just get smaller horses. I didn't know, man.
I mean,
America's crazy, dude.
We've learned a lot from how they filmed Lord of the Rings. If you're you are an executive at TLC, do you just come up with the ideas of adding more weight to the said people that are going to be the stars of your show? Just be like, which also implies if you're 600 pounds and you apply to become on the show, My 600 Pound Life, they just reject you.
Oh yeah.
And then now you're a default. It's the same thing with Teen Mom. You know how many people got pregnant to try to get on Teen Mom?
Yeah, didn't
they were just rejected.
You need a hook. You needed you need a tiny sombrero. You need to be addicted to pills. You got to eat toilet paper. You have to have something fun.
But you know how hard it is to get pregnant and then also get rejected and then also get to 600 pounds and then get rejected?
It's hard, man. It's like being an Olympian.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you could have some people. What about the 11th guy?
Yep.
That swims for a living and doesn't make it all the way through, but he's still faster than fucking thousands of other people, right?
He beat us.
He beat us, absolutely. But I'm just as good as fucking him. Because both of us didn't go to the Olympics. That's fun.
Absolutely. And neither of us had made any money doing anything with swimming. Actually, we probably saved money because he probably spent a lot of money going to swim meets.
I've actually been approached to be on the United States bobbing team. Where you just go in the water and tread water, and it's just as long as you can. It's as many beers as you can fit while floating.
You would be every time an Olympic event, or every time the Olympics comes to a city, they can pick an event. It's coming to Los Angeles. Do you know what they picked? Truthfully, breakdancing, which
sure,
is kind of cool.
Great.
It's just gymnastics, basically, with better music.
Yeah,
bobbing.
See,
when
Wisconsin.
Poland gets the Olympics, you wait until it's like bobbing for rocks. Just bobbing.
Just bobbing.
Just
bobbing. Straight up bobbing. And we have here is long bobbing, which is also known as planking. But you know what my pitch is? Because you know what they do for a lot of reality television shows at TLC is that they will base a show on somebody that auditioned for another show. They will find that person. If they like you, if they like your personality,
right,
then they'll find a new niche. And here's my pitch. 2,000-pound umpire.
Woo! You're out!
That's a way you got to have a unique job and weight amount.
I love it, my friend. Well, speaking of grave robbing, obviously these people in Florida, well, they're going to be arrested, or they have been arrested.
He said straight up that one of them said, Lopez, when he was questioned, he said he referred to cemeteries as holy sites and shopping centers. He said what's really hard is in the United States, it's hard for him to get corpses for his religion, and he blames us. He's blaming the corporate takeover of America, and I honestly think that's why it's important for Walmart to start getting to human skulls.
You know, it is a really interesting accidental point, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it about consumerism and where we are as a culture, where
yes.
we are as a people?
Can't even get a human fucking femur
can't
bone on eBay anymore.
I can't even get a human femur bone. Speaking of bizarre thing, we have to talk about Nganga still.
I just want to bring up really quick the video I saw of Azealia Banks.
Well, that's it. So Azealia Banks, she has been in the news now. And she was in Miami, and apparently people are mad because I guess she cooked her cat.
She really did.
You're not supposed to do that.
But you know what?
This is
the cat was already dead. So at least the cat wasn't alive. Is that good? I'm going to, because we here at Last Podcast on the Left are going to say we support Azealia Banks no matter what happens.
Well, we have to.
I don't want to be cursed by Azealia Banks. And I think that Azealia Banks should be allowed, if she really wants to, She can, obviously, she is an adherent to Paolo Mayombe. She has an Nganga. We've seen it on her Instagram.
Yeah.
And she did have that very, I'm going to say graphic video of them digging up a cat and then boiling it. And you see all the meat kind of fly off of it and all that kind of stuff. Right, and I just want to say,
totally normal.
Good for her for recycling her cat.
How you say cucumber?
How you what say a power. Cucumber?
So this is what the rapper had to say about her very normal, rational. Totally normal thing to do. It's her cat. And Marcus, we would never make fun of her.
I'm not going to make... We actually physically can't make fun of her because Marcus Parks has done this same exact shit at a restaurant that used to be called Creek in the Cave in New York City. He did the same exact thing inside of an operational place.
All right. Well, this is what the rapper had to say. She says, because some people have been like, don't do that. That's bad.
Don't
you know,
do it.
You know, social media could kind of be a little bit. In,
woke mob.
Yeah, whatever. So people are mad at her. But this is what she said. She says, the cat went out with a fucking bang. This is my impression of her. Taking my bitch to Miami.
Of
course, she's taking the cat to Miami in an Nganga. The Nganga has the cat skull. It has a bunch of what seems to be rum and whiskeys and stuff. Looks to be some weapons and $100 bill. So that means she's asking for protection. She's asking for money, and she wants to get hammered, I guess.
She does like, well, she's doing that for whoever is the spirit inside of the Nganga. She obviously has been working towards something, maybe, but you know, she might be not be trying to create utter chaos. She might just be trying to make more money and trying to, you know, amplify her voice. It is definitely a way to amplify her voice because it seems to get a lot of people talking about Azalea Banks every single time she boils a cat.
She did cut through the noise, didn't she?
She did.
So in the Nganga, she has a 4-bedroom house. I can imagine every bedroom smelled just like one bedroom that had, the cat skull in it. The Nganga had peacock feathers, a bottle of champagne, $100, and a mostly empty bottle of Chanel No. 5, which I have to say this. I'm a spirit. I can destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to fucking give me a spritz of Chanel No. 5, you're not going to get me a full bottle. I smell like death.
She might be using it.
Richard Ramirez's gingivitis come to life. Why wouldn't you give me a full bottle of Chanel No. 5?
She might be too much for her, but she might be trying to be elegant. She might have a skull or bone connected to somebody that she knows liked Chanel No. 5, and she might be using that as a way to communicate with a spirit that is connected through the Nganga as a way to give that spirit something familiar to hold on to.
I also, again, we will never mock the great Azealia Banks. And please, God, don't curse us. Don't curse
please
us.
Please don't curse us. We'll do whatever it takes.
Actually, yeah. I'll take if I can get the thinner thing, but for a month. And then I give it to somebody else.
Give it to somebody else. That'd be really cool. Just go just come up to me and touch me and go, network sitcom. And then you're trapped
but then
on
you're,
it.
But then you're trapped exactly. On it. Then you're just on Superstore and you're just like one of the crates.
That's what happens.
That's
a big success.
Honestly, that is a great success. But Azealia Banks has a bit of a history of, we're just going to say, being contrarian.
She is a contrarian.
She camped outside of Elon Musk's and Grimes' house.
Well, and
She scared fans by writing on Instagram, I think I will end my tenure here on Earth soon.
Very scary. I don't want you to commit suicide, Azealia Banks. I don't want you to do it. I want you to be strong. Use that Nganga and power up your hip-hop career.
Well, this is what the... apparently, she sings a song called Big, Big Beat. I'm so stupid. I don't know anything.
I don't know.
I love Big Big Beat. It's a great song.
Honestly, Azealia Banks, use your Nganga to make a romantic connection with Ben Kissel.
Yeah, that's
honestly,
it.
Will you marry Azealia Banks and bring her into the fold?
I'll do whatever it
takes.
That's
great.
This is what she said on Instagram after, I'm going to call it cat fluffle.
Cat kerfluffle.
That's a cat fluffle. She says, we got our ticket out of California through all the tears and suffering and wildfires and gender identity crisis. There's a lot going on in California. And then she says, in all capitals, I made it out of hell, Miami, USA. Let's go.
I mean, hey, Miami's great. I like Miami.
I like Miami.
I don't know, man. There's a lot more Paolo Mayombe in Miami.
All I know is she aware that she might not like cats? Or maybe she did love this cat so much But in Miami, there's a pit bull.
See.
And if he ends up in Hiranganga, she's going to get charged with murder because he's a DJ.
But now, Pitbull, what's his thing? Is he the one who goes, ew? Or who's the one? DJ Khaled's the one who says his name over and over again.
DJ Khaled?
Yeah, he just says that. He says that and over and over again.
But that's called contributing. That's like when you just start talking.
Hi, my name is Henry Zabrowski. Yeah, you're interrupting me, Ben. This story is all about, we're going to talk about this song.
Kizzle!
Okay, that's a song?
That's me producing you.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's what we've been doing all these years.
All right, everyone. Well, let's move on to something. It's not equally, but it is out of this world. And I guess Azealia Banks and what she's doing is actually very much in this world.
In this world.
But let's talk UFOs because we must.
Oh, you want to jump?
Let's jump and then we'll go into some of the goofier stories because we also have a story about a man who had sex with a corpse in front of that corpse's family. And believe it or not, they were not happy. But let's get to our UFO news because honestly, this is coming in hot. It's really interesting.
They were upset. This story comes from this is from Reddit Conspiracy. None of this is necessarily backed up by any information whatsoever.
And again, this is what I told Henry before the show. When you go into Reddit Conspiracy, tether yourself to like WWE Network or tether yourself to like
something
ESPN.
Something real.
So then you can like reel it back in after you get too deep and too stoned.
I will say they're real torn over there right now. They don't really know
what
their ass from their elbows. I would even go as far as to say that.
These conspiracy theorists aren't getting along?
They are.
What?
There's a lot of infighting. They don't know where the coup is and who the coup was and who's doing the coup. And the word coup is happening so often on our conspiracy that it gets to a point where I'm just going to start saying coop. And I want it to rhyme with soup.
Aww.
I'd rather see. You know what? Because it'd be so much better if there was some sort of soup-based conspiracy going on because they just let them into the Capitol building. The cops were in on it and so was the government. So let us just go on to this story. This comes from a quote-unquote whistleblower. This is someone that I don't know whether or not this is real, but it points towards other shit that is coming out.
This is according to the site's founder, John Greenwald Jr. Apparently, he's been doing this stuff since the 1980s. And for him, you would think this is a really big moment. He was one of the people who filed a FOIA request for this information. Of course, that's the Freedom of Information Act. And it only took a paltry 20 years to get it.
That's it. Hey. That's it. No, because Black Vault is now open. The CIA is opening their entire Black Vault of UFO documentation. I'm going to get. Again, it comes from the CIA, so can you trust them? No! But at least you can see what they have and what they consider to be highly sensitive documents.
And even if it is a lie or even if it is a sort of an alteration of the thing that they actually found or the truth, but you still would glean some information from it.
Well, I think it's important as people that are interested in this topic is to see what the people, quote unquote, secretly investigating it are also interested in. So you can see how what they do is they send out what seems to be they collect any single thing that has something to do with either UFOs. So you'll see stuff from like the Weekly World News in there. You'll see stuff that is heavily debunked.
Right.
Then you'll see like credible, quote unquote, in-house memos of people talking about UAPs.
That was my favorite part of Men in Black. I called it a documentary. Okay. But one of the things that I did think was probably a little bit truthful was when they look at the Weekly World News for the news because they hide the secret
stuff
shit
in it.
And I mean, that would make a lot of sense.
I was just about to go as far as to say, you wonder whether or not the CIA keeps tabs on their disinformation as they go and see what has been. You could start looking
what
at their
shit.
What sticks
and what doesn't?
What sticks, what doesn't stick? What are people interested in? What facets of the UFO story are people obsessed with?
Right.
What are ways that we can either manipulate that information in order to convince you of something that is not real for our own purposes? Or what can we do to stick real bullshit in places that you can't find it or won't know it because everything else around it is so insane.
And then I suppose if you do find that one piece of truth, this is how they can also then ironically call you a quack, right?
Because
they're
course.
Like, well, if you believe that, then you must believe all these other
bullshit.
And they extrapolate on your beliefs for you. And then before you know it, you haven't had a chance to talk. And everyone's just laughing at you.
There
and
is.
Then your pants fall down and you walk out of the room like all good ufologists.
Don't you dare malign the good name of Stanton Friedman.
Yeah, oh, it's just
honestly,
because
when, you're, Stanton,
when we are egg-shaped men, their pants fall down without their choice. And guess what? Is quarantine making us less egg-shaped? No. We are continuing really? Deeper into ovoid shapes.
So you're going to Me Too gravity. Is that what you're saying?
You are
taking down a scientific fact.
I am sick of gravity. You know what else I'm sick of? Warmth.
Good. Good.
The feeling of warmth.
So you want your perfect world is you just floating in cold.
That'll be me one day when I'm deep inside cyberspace in just a form of my own mind.
Lawnmower Man. Remake Lawnmower Man, by the way. That movie is awesome. So Greenwald, but this is what he had to just really true. Quick when it comes to getting this information. And this is why this guy, he's been, again, busting his weird, I can imagine, weird little body for a long time trying to get this stuff. Mm-hmm. He said around 20 years ago, he says, quote, I had fought for years to get additional UFO records released from the CIA. He says, it was like pulling teeth. I went around and around with them trying to do so. Finally achieving it, I received a large box of a couple thousand pages, and I had to scan them in one page at a time. So what a horrible...
It like, sucks. It sucks to be a nerd. You're just giving a bunch of shit, because they do that on purpose. They're like, go have fun with it.
Exactly. It's like when you have to pay, like, $1,000 to the bank and you pay in all pennies.
Yes.
Like, it's such a fuck you where it's like, yeah, there you go. There's 10,000 documents. Scan every single one of them. Make sure you get them back to us.
There's another story that came out of Reddit Conspiracy, which is this. Someone knows somebody at the quote-unquote NOAA. And for those of you who don't know who the NOAA is.
Yeah, what were they?
It is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Oh, okay. This is a U.S. government. This isn't like an alien offshoot group. This is a federal group.
Oh, okay. This is a federal group. They say they know this. And what I like about this conspiracy theory is that because it's so specific, like saying the NOAA is a fun, specific, very small government agency that maybe, or you know, it's to the side. It's not a main government agency. I don't mean to malign anybody.
No,
the NOAA.
It's very important.
And also, if you are a member of the NOAA, and can speak to any of this, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. But apparently
email us now. Ruin your career.
Come on, disclose. There's some chatter that apparently this disclosure concept is going to be coming out soon. And the main thing, which we talked about a little bit, when we talked about the director from The Phenomenon, we said that
interview for our Patreon. Thank you all for giving to our Patreon.
Thank you. But he basically points towards whatever's going to come out of UFOs the next couple of years, I think, is going to be USOs. So we're going to be talking a lot about ocean-based shit that is going to talk about. And what this person is talking about is, first of all, alluding to this Russian submarine incident that happened. I mean, again, all of this is just actual fun conspiracy theory.
Right.
The story came out in July of 2019. Okay. I don't know if you remember hearing about this, but I remember this hitting the news, and it was just one of those blips, which was 14 sailors died on a secretive Russian nuclear submarine.
Okay.
Putin called it this incident a great loss. He said apparently it was this top secret Russian submarine that had a fire on the inside of it, and all of the crew died.
That's a horrible way to die.
Yeah, absolutely, because you're also dying in a highly secret way, which means then your body just disappears.
Right, nobody is going to talk about it whatsoever.
No.
You think if it's a fire on a submarine, open the window. Put the fire out.
You are simply America's humorist, Ben Kissel. I just can't wait to read your... Oh, God. You should do a little article for a local newspaper called Sundries.
I love it. You know what I'm going to call my book? Ben, Don't Break. That's a pun.
Wow. Wow.
Kill myself.
That's actually right. I didn't say it's
Ben,
that
Don't Break. It's not that bad. It's too punny. I don't like it. But
that was, they say, according to this whistleblower, this was a conspiracy theory. That was a fake story.
Oh, that was, they didn't die.
No, they did not. Well, they did die. But apparently the NOAA, this is a conspiracy theory, has now had thousands of incidents of contact with these underwater beings. And then it's fairly common knowledge among certain departments and roles in the organization. Basically, there's people saying that there is shit going down in at the bottom of the ocean, and possibly happened to this submarine, or something that happened to the submarine, is that they essentially were investigating a reptilian stronghold at the bottom of the ocean, or some type of stronghold, and they went down there.
Can they breathe underwater?
They have suits.
They have reptile suits.
They have suits, Kissel.
Okay.
First of all, if you're gonna make it up,
why not just make it an Aqua creation that wouldn't need to wear a suit?
Suits.
But that's from that's TMNT. That's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Those are enemies from the, I had the toy. I actually had the toy that you're talking about.
Suits imply technology.
And of course, the only person that's seen the bottom of the ocean is the great director, James Cameron.
Our favorite director.
What? Just unbelievable.
Our old best friend, James Cameron.
We've been shouting outside of his house for months, being like, give us a movie role.
I am Avatar.
And I painted him all blue.
Got my fucking hair all matted with all the fucking tempera paint that we got, like, was from Michael's.
Yeah, I remember.
Just slathered with it, just fucking shouting and coughing all over his front door. He loves it.
Well, apparently he hasn't come out. He said, quote, get out of here. And I guess that's the name of a new movie or something.
Whatever. So maybe. Go have sex with Sandra Bullock.
Whoa.
Actually, I don't know if he is married to Sandra Bullock, and actually he'd be very lucky if he did.
Absolutely. Oh my, I just saw Jesse James in a picture. Ugh. Big mistake, buddy.
You probably
should have stuck with Sandra there, bud.
But this is, who knows? They're saying the NOAA has had experiences, and apparently they swim around. They literally are around these several areas, several weird-ass fucking species of alien life, because guess what, Kissel?
What?
They're not alien. They live here. They live under the ocean, like Sebastian.
Hey, man, you know, who the F knows?
There's that.
What's
there's
going
that
on?
Story.
But
and
the
then,
nice thing is, instead of having to, like James Cameron, get a small one person submarine, we're polluting the ocean so much they're coming to us because they're like, we can't. There's not enough oxygen.
Oh my god, it's Fern Gully all over again.
Whoa, look at that.
There's another story that you guys
should... Well, I do want to talk just one second about how Mr. Greenwald got this information and how difficult it is. So the CIA, this is from 2020, because they are the peak technological agency in the United States government, they gave him a CD-ROM containing everything.
Oh, makes sense. Definitely. I had to go to the DMV for something, and I had to download a PDF that I have to print and then mail to them.
It's like dealing with your grandmother and trying to get her a Christmas card because she won't open the fucking email.
It's right there. I've already done it.
Anyway, he says, quote, this is Greenwald. He says, the CIA has made it incredibly difficult to use their records in a reasonable manner. They offer a format that is very outdated. It's a multi-page .tif and offer text file outputs largely unusable that I think they intend to have, that they have people using, quote, as search tools. In my opinion, this outdated format makes it very difficult for people to see the documents and use them for any research purpose. So there's kind of like, we'll give it to you, but it's going to be extremely difficult to read. It's going to be real old technology. It's going to be a colossal pain in the ass. How bad do you want it?
That's what they do, and they make you dig. You got to fight for that inch, and that's why that Any Given Sunday should have been about ufologists versus these so-called foosball players.
Football players, go Pack, go. And
I just feel
Greenwald,
like if anybody had a serious job where they were called players,
you're sitting on your flat ass. Talking into a microphone.
I'm an American
for monetary
patriot.
Gain.
I'm an American patriot.
I'm so fucking happy. None of you. I'm so happy. No shirts. No t-shirts at the Capitol.
Good. We did it. Woo. We made it. Fan all base right. Intact.
Very nice. Good. Good work. One and all.
But there's another story that came out 2 years ago that also is that okay. One of those weird things. It's another one of those random ass conspiracy stories then kind of line up with this story. So this is another one that says I work for the NOAA and straight up mermaids are fucking real, dude.
Well, there's no way that sentence isn't completely true. I'm looking at the website that you're looking at. My eyes
bright
are glazing
red.
Over. It's bright red. Very strange, small white lettering. Speaking of how difficult it is to consume this information, it must be done on purpose. Almost like when you get somebody super tired and then you see how well can you drive now? Looking at that website makes me cringe. It makes me slightly nauseous. And just to get past that and consume any information is a feat.
But no, this comes from our conspiracy post that the only reason why I'm reading it is because it's interesting to see whoever is doing this, whether it's all fake or not, they are kind of stringing some fun ideas together. In 2012, there was an incident of a few beached whales that were investigated by NOAA and a team from the Navy.
That was just last podcast on vacation.
Hey, come on, y'all. Leave us alone. I got 50 SPF on.
Whoa.
At first, they thought, what's weird is they found these cylinders cored out of these whales. And they said they thought it was weird. Again, don't know if a single shred of this is real.
Great. Whales are real.
The whale part, the animal of a whale. Yeah, the whale animal is real.
The truth.
But they didn't know what the hell was going on. But they were told, apparently, long story short, they said they found irrefutable evidence of an advanced humanoid species living under our oceans. Using what is called a multi-beam sonar, we found their dwelling areas and also what appeared to be underwater vehicles of some kind. The creatures themselves were tracked by the Navy over the course of 2 weeks using a submersible equipped with a special deep-sea observation equipment. The creatures displayed speeds of 70 plus knots, faster than the sailfish. They were also recorded emitting sounds that resembled marine communications, and instruments also captured the emissions of precision sonar blasts that damaged the hull of a submersible.
Well, and there you go, folks. There is no way that's not real, because somebody wrote it down. Someone hit, love it. Put that to my website, and it's all there for you to read.
I love it. They have a glow around their entire body. They look like a computer animation, according to an officer that saw footage of the creatures, including juveniles. Right? They look nothing like...
including juveniles. Does that give it more credibility?
I don't know. I don't fucking know.
Why would they say that?
They don't have a fish tail. They're completely humanoid, but extremely thin and tall. Oh, lucky. The bodies were covered in a material resembling elemental mercury. It looked like it was moving. Oh. They were very...
cool.
Interested in the submersible and seemed to know they were being observed, as a few times they would swim off and come back with more creatures. We observed a max 5 of them at once, varying sizes, but otherwise identical to appearance. Their eyes were completely white. There was no visible hair, nor any features that implied male female. They're talking about ding-dongs or hoo-haws.
Whoa!
We flashed sequences of lights at them, sounds, and even extended a robotic arm on the submersible to try and get some kind of physical sample slash DNA from the specimens. Better watch out, because they did that in Russia too, and they got zapped.
Be very careful.
And we don't know what they were, how they were swimming, as they weren't wading or moving their bodies like a fish, or even like how a human would move an oar. They were simply just capable of moving rapidly in any direction. It's interesting. Again, fake, but who knows? I like to do it, but this is not fake.
This is DHH video.
This is another one. Honestly, no, I'm pointing at my finger and you can't see me. This is not fake. This is fucking legit.
Well, we
this
do have DHS to at some point
I
end
know.
This segment. Because
I know,
I have
we
a,
will.
A, you, they just described Gwyneth Paltrow, by the way.
She's got nipples. I've masturbated to it before.
Honestly, Shakespeare in Love.
The only good part of that movie.
I love that movie.
It's okay.
When I was a lonely boy, before I realized it's just better to be alone, I used to really like Shakespeare in Love. But, you know, things change as you adults.
So this is, look this up, the DHS UFO, this is UFO off the east coast of Aguadilla in Puerto Rico. Look this up. This is about in 2013.
You have 30 more seconds.
This from an airplane where they showed an object that kept the plane from landing. And it is fucking legit. It's scary as fuck.
Okay, how do people get there?
It's just, you gotta look it up. UFO off the coast of Aguadilla.
UFO off the coast of
Puerto Rico.
In Puerto Rico, okay.
Because you go down there and you could see the orb go into the ocean with fucking no, and it goes right back out. It's just that loose speed. It's fucking wild. It's one of the wilder UFO videos I've seen in a while. It's like 3.5 minutes long.
All right, check it out.
Live from your grave.
All right, so let's move on to a different story involving penises, okay? Can we get to something that we all know for a fact is real?
All I know.
Can we get to something real?
My job is to keep the people informed of the real news and not get distracted by the lamestream media.
Don't put your dick in a bunch of things that has a tie to an app. That's all I'm going to say about
this. Please don't.
Just don't. A hacker took control of a dude's cock basically when he when the dude put his penis in one of these like boner things, and the hacker told the guy, "Your cock is mine." That is a direct quote. He said, "Your cock
is mine now. Your cock is mine."
And so in October of last year, security researchers found that the manufacturer of an internet chastity cage, it's a sex toy, as you can imagine. It's not something that you do taxes with. I don't think everything has to be explained to us that much.
We know that it's a cage for your balls and it's a thing.
Yes, absolutely. It's not like going to college. So the victim asked to be identified only as Robert. He put his cock in this thing, and then he received a message from a hacker demanding a payment of 0.02 Bitcoin, which is around $750 today, to unlock the device.
So you wanted $750.
Basically, in via Bitcoin, this is as if this is like real life Jigsaw. This is real life Saw, but instead of having to like fish a key out of your stomach with a fishing wire, you have to give this guy Bitcoin to get your cock back.
Yes, but it wasn't even on his dick.
What do you mean?
It wasn't. He said that it was locked, but he was not on it.
Oh,
he said, this guy was just saying he couldn't use it. Fortunately, I didn't have lock on myself while this happened, Robert said. It wasn't even on it. He just watched it lock and in front of him, and you heard, a voice can come out of it. This is like, your cock is mine now. When he couldn't see the cock and couldn't register that the cock wasn't inside of it.
This is according to I guess this is extremely common. Another victim who only wants to go by the name RJ. I love the shame.
Yeah,
although at the same time, don't have shame. Who cares?
Show us how it works.
He says, I wasn't the owner of the cage anymore, so I didn't have full control over the cage at any given moment. Then don't put it on your penis, please. Almost every company and their product, this is according to Alex Lomas, he is a security researcher. He says, almost every company and product is going to have some kind of vulnerability in its lifetime. Maybe not as bad as this one, but something. He says, it's important that all companies have a way for researchers to contact them and that they keep in touch with them. So it's funny.
Anything touching my balls, or if anything was touching your pussy or your butthole, just don't let it have access to the internet unless you know everybody who's on a chain.
Certainly not somebody who is fiending for Bitcoin, because as we know, you push an animal against a wall, that animal is going to bite. And this guy, he wanted that freaking Bitcoin.
He wanted that
and
Bitcoin.
He'll kill for it. And he'll kill for it. all right. Well, so that story, I guess it's not on his cock. So that is what it is. But be careful. Don't put it on your cock. And the other story that I thought was kind of fun, because, you know, we've been talking about exercising and running.
We do.
We have a little bit because people keep on finding corpses.
I know. That's right. That's how we've been talking about exercising, is in the term of corpse finding.
Yes. But anyway, we almost had something similar to a corpse finding here recently. This is according to the BBC. A human foot was found by a woman. She was running and she found this human foot and she called the police, as you should do. But it turns out it was just a potato.
So
a suspected human foot was found in a muddy field.
That's so sad.
It turned out to be a potato. Quote, after a large-scale police search, a dog walker in Gateshead, they sent the officers the photo. The officers were like, yep, that looks like a foot.
Hey, yeah, right. There's got to be a foot. I can tell on him. He's got the fucking eyes. Can you see it? And they're like, well, sometimes feet have acne.
So the woman found what was supposed to be a foot. It turned out to be a potato. And then the police said, if it does turn out to be a vegetable, our police dogs will say, thank you for the treat. Although, I don't think that dogs like raw potatoes.
Yeah, they're just going to eat a raw potato. Actually, I don't think dogs can eat potatoes.
No, I think dogs can eat potatoes. They can't eat a few. They can't
eat grapes.
I'm
going to type it up. Can dogs eat?
Yeah, actually do that. Because I do that. I search can dogs ... constantly.
Well, the sad is that I asked one time, because, you know, I'd be like, oh, you ever do that where you ask, like, you're like hammered or nice at night and you like look at your phone and go like, how can I tell if a dog loves me? Like, I remember looking at the very beginning of, like, getting Wendy, and then all of a sudden, my Quora. Do you remember Quora?
I still get emails 80 times a day from Quora.
They just get sadder and sadder and sadder, just being like, is it okay to cry? Is it okay? It's so weird. Can dogs eat potatoes?
Let's see what the answer is. Can dogs eat potatoes?
Don't let your dog eat any raw potatoes.
Whoa!
Or any potato plants.
Whoa!
Oh, shit.
Dogs should never.
Oh, shit.
It's one of the most dangerous foods a dog can eat.
No, if you eat a potato, it's got to be cooked.
Holy hell,
they got to be cooked.
No raw potatoes.
I know that they're not. I mean, technically, we give Wendy like little tiny bits of french fries if it's cute.
That's cooked. That's deep fried. That's more than cooked.
Cute.
It's better than cooked. It's deep fried.
It's cute and she likes it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's not a treat.
Good work. You called the British. And speaking of foreign news, Henry, I see that you finally got the TV show that you pitched.
Finally.
I see that you finally got to air.
You know how
I'm
I
so
love.
Proud of you.
You know, my big thing is Henry Zebrowski, his big break was always going to be in European children's television. Because you know what? They just got different rules over there.
They have the same rules.
Do they?
They're a little bit more lax on age.
Have you read this article?
They're a little bit more lax on age.
Have you read this article?
Yes, I read the article.
This is, I don't know how to describe what this show is. This came out last week. This is from The Guardian. Denmark launches children's TV show about a man with a giant penis. It's a character named John Dillermont, because apparently Diller is term for penis over there. It's like schlong or something, and Dillermont means penis man. He is a big old penis.
They repeatedly call it extraordinary.
It's extraordinary, yeah. And that it can perform rescue operations, etch murals, hoist a flag, and even steal ice cream.
I don't like that necessarily.
But the whole thing is that it's all about how they were trying to find a way to teach children about how to be appropriate with your penis. This is true.
Okay.
This comes from the Danish equivalent of the BBC.
Well, and again, when we say children, the program is directly aimed at 4 to 8 year olds.
Maybe
9 to 12 year olds, maybe, because when you start really.
I don't know. It says the whole show is supposed to be about the struggles and the hardships of a man with the world's longest penis.
I got the world's smallest violin I'm playing right now.
I just don't know. It's the idea is that his penis does all these fun things, like goes to the store and does all these adventures, but then it's chastised when it's naughty, right?
Oh.
So the idea is that it's supposed to be a parable about how a man needs to have control over his naughty, naughty penis.
Okay, well, this is according to a Danish author. She says, is this really the message we want to send to children while we're in the middle of a huge Me Too wave? But I have to say, if it is doing, as you just said, Henry, teaching him to control said massive whang, perhaps that is a good thing.
But the thing is that when a penis is naughty.
Tell me. Honestly, sit me down. Light the fire. May I have some chili while you tell me this story? Oh, this is your famous pork chili. Thank you.
Please, my huge son. You see, when a man's penis is naughty, like let's say it steals ice cream from a sheriff.
I do that sometimes.
Yes. You know how your penis does that? Sometimes you just need to give it a little spank.
Yeah.
So that it goes back to its home, which is your pants.
Oh.
But this is the type of stuff that they're saying. So this is like one of the producers came up. This is a clinical psychologist who works with children. This person believes that the show's opponents may be overthinking things, because obviously it's getting a lot of heat,
right,
both over here and over there. John Dillermont talks to children and shares their way of thinking, and kids do find genitals funny. The show depicts a man who is impulsive and not always in control, who makes mistakes, like kids do. But crucially, Dillermont always makes it right. He takes responsibility for his actions. When a woman in the show tells him that he should keep his penis in his pants, for instance, he listens, which is nice. He is accountable.
You know, that is nice. And how many times have you seen somebody jerking off in front of you and you just said, my goodness, I wish you would have watched this cartoon so you would know, put it in your pants.
I should be like, thank you, Mr. CK. Honestly, though, I'm ready to be number 7 on your television show, sir.
Number 7. Christian Groves does not share the same sentiment as Erla. He says, it's perpetrating the standard idea of a patriarchal society and normalizing, quote, locker room culture that's been used as an excuse, a lot of bad behavior for men. It meant to be funny, so it's seen as harmless, but it's not. And we're teaching this to our kids. Well, I have to say this. I played sports, and locker room culture is
fucking bragging.
No, I'm just saying locker room culture is not, there's nothing to do with women, because it's usually just about boys looking at each other and then doing weird stuff and then taking big dumps,
mm-hmm,
and then smelling the dumps and then being like, whoa, that's a smelly dump.
Yeah, and then you guys all spanking each other with towels and washing each other and practicing, doing late night practices, and you got the coach over there and he's giving everybody cigars. And
especially in wrestling, because you have to weigh everybody at the end of each, or at least before a meet, so everyone's nude and everyone's waiting in line to hit the scale, and there's not a thought of a woman in our minds. It's all men all the time.
I hate it. I'm so glad I was in
you
theater.
Actually missed out on a lot of locker room stuff. It's all dudes doing dude stuff. Is, you know, it's hot. It's hot in a way, isn't it?
It is. If you were in that situation and you found it hot, it would be very hot. But I always hung out with the girls because I liked girls.
Well, you can't
girls.
Be in their locker room.
No. But I was in theater, so we were all in each other's dressing rooms. See, we had dressing rooms, which is funny.
We had locker rooms.
Dressing rooms were all about being dressed, but everybody's nude in them. And a locker room is like another type of thing where it's just like you were just surrounded by dudes. I wanted to be with the girls because I liked girls better than boys.
So why I actually take a little bit of offense to this whole locker room. There's a lot of things that happen in locker rooms, a lot of growth. A lot of people. But what's worse, locker room culture or your glamorous theater dressing room culture? I would say the dressing room culture has probably seen more acts of violence than the locker room.
Well, now we found out a lot. We've learned a lot about Los Angeles culture, haven't we, over the last couple of years? But this is different. I guess it's what's hard. It's because they're saying anybody who says, this is one of those like weird thought tricks where they're like, anybody who says that this show could possibly be misconstrued for having sexual undertones, it projects old adult ideas on it, and you should feel shameful for thinking about how you feel weird about looking at that man's cartoon snake-like penis to having a bunch of like fun adventures.
This is why my palms were to the sky when it comes to the cutie, that Netflix show Cuties.
Oh, don't even
I'm just
bring
like,
it up.
I'm not talking about it. Like, it's not for me.
I don't give a fuck.
I don't want to think about it.
I never want to watch it. I didn't look at it even
to
begin
with.
I just, my fingers just slid
right past it, right to the unbelievable Netflix series, We Are the Champion.
I love, we've talked about this on the show already.
Oh, my God.
But this is what I do like, because there's another response. But the latest response, this is another response from Danish television from the latest criticism by saying, it just as easily could have been a program about a woman with no control over her vagina. Meanwhile, everyone got really mad last week, 2 weeks ago, when we did Rock Terrio Part 3, when we talked about the woman's uterus falling out of her pussy and her doing the ute scoot.
Ooh.
I would like to see, maybe it would be different if a fucking prolapsed vagina fell out of a woman in a cartoon and just the ends of her uterus were doing all sorts of shenanigans. I'll watch that show, sure.
Well, Mr. Zabrowski, we loved your idea about Big Cock Johnson talking about how he made mistakes and he's learned how to handle his
vagina. He's made a lot of mistakes.
This pussy show, though, that's actually going to be greenlit for a movie. Now you are a television author and you are a movie author.
Yes.
You're a multiple writer, my friend.
Because that's what happens when a woman puts up a tent. You know, like it's an erection. With women, it's when their vaginas are deep, when their uteruses are deep.
You know, as we, of course, we do this show, you have sort of like three brains going on. You have what you're saying, what you want to say. And then once you said what you wanted to say, then you also think about ramifications in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And
every day I'm like in the Matrix, but it's for like, what am I going to say about a woman's uterus?
I just feel like we've somehow managed to stumble upon problematic territory that we're just talking about a show.
I have no clue.
Theoretically should be innocent. But I guess it's not, because it's directed at 4 and 8-year-olds. And I suppose if I was the father and I walked in on my son being like, why are you watching the big cock
show? I just don't know how I feel. I just feel, you know what?
Whatever just happened to freaking Barney? Barney taught me so much. Rogers taught me so much. The Teletubbies taught people.
Whatever just happened to letting your kids watch Pet Sematary? You know what I mean?
Maybe that's what happened to Azealia Banks.
She watched
it too young.
I like what she does.
I love what she does.
I like what you do.
All right.
And also, just real quick, we got a lot of fantastic emails from people that are OBGYNs talking about uterine prolapses. And the main thing that I got back is, girls, got to do them kegels.
Okay, yes.
Or you do with the, because that's the thing. I had this while. You ever see me when I got eel dick? When the inlining of my fucking dick fell out of the top of my penis? And I had to do all that ab work to reel it back in?
You are so fucking disgusting.
Message?
Do not stand up. Henry is now doing something. It's a physical act out at this point. Now he has. Okay, thank you for that. There is the eel dick.
I just didn't know that men. I didn't know that humans could get Red Rocket.
Yeah.
But this
God,
is
you're
a,
so gross.
This is disgusting. That is honestly truly disgusting. But this actually comes from our dear. This also, I want to say where I'm vindicated. This comes from our dear friend Ellie, who's a geologist.
You're going to try to make something. You're going to try to do something like scientific with this?
Apparently, poop does turn to rocks.
All right. It's time for Hero of the Week, everyone.
Cooper Lights.
Wow.
Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you. Thank you. Honestly, thank you. Isn't that fun? The smarter you get and the more educated you get, you're still just surrounded by shit.
Everywhere.
All right. It's time for Hero of the Week. Hero of the Week. This week's Year of the Week reminds us of little us's. It's a 12-year-old kid. His name is Kale Bell. He has gotten in some trouble.
This kid is dope as fuck.
Why did he get in trouble? Well, because he threw a rave in his school's bathroom. What an awesome dude. So no one really came to it, but there's a bunch of pictures of the 12-year-old DJ. He held the event in the toilets of Manchester, St. Anthony's Catholic College. He invited all boys from the year 8 to attend. The set included a 30 minutes of freshly mixed bangers alongside complimentary refreshments and Cadbury Twirls. This boy has a future. Congratulations,
Kale. That picture
Kale.
Of him with that DJ equipment is fucking incredible.
It really is incredible.
And the picture of him, he's so sad. He's just like in trouble in the fucking...
He just wanted to be a DJ and have a good time. So his mother, Louisa Bell, she seems to be handling all of this very well. I actually, because if I find out my kid did this, I'll be like, you're so freaking adorable, but let's wait. Let's not do it in a bathroom. And hopefully 6 years from now, you don't want to be a DJ because it's only cute when you're 12. But this is what she says. She says, this is the mom. She says, am I wrong for finding this funny? Which reminds me of my mother. She used to cuss constantly every time I got in trouble. Not every time, but a lot of times she'd be like, that's kind of funny. Like when my friend Jared faked the seizure.
Oh, of course.
And my mom was like, well, it's kind of theatrical. It's pretty humorous. She always had my back if it was just funny enough. So I love this mom. So she says, yeah, am I wrong for finding it funny? I had to laugh. It's been a terrible year, and I couldn't be angry with my son for trying to spread some cheer. When I got the call, it made perfect sense. Kale had been up dressed and ready to leave for school early that morning, which was unheard of in our house. He's so great. I love this 12-year-old.
Yeah, he's just the biggest, so ready to go, dude.
She says he had the biggest smile on his face, so I knew he was up. So I knew he had something up his sleeve. I asked him why he was so happy, and he told me they were having a rave in school, and he was indeed the DJ.
Yeah, dude. So. Reading the room, dude, pumping it up. Also, if anybody can explain to us what a DJ does, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. We had a pretty extended, conversation before the show where we all realized we don't know what a DJ does.
Yeah. That's, I'll be honest, we just don't. So sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. If you're a DJ.
This is not even, we're not going to read this on the air because I think it's boring to a lot of people. This is for my personal information.
Anyway, Kale's dad thought it was also hysterical, and he said, quote, go on, son. So they did have a conversation about whether or not we should be angry, but how could we be? So there you go. There you go. Good work trying to spread a little joy in the bathrooms. Kale Bell. Well, that sounds weird. But Kale Bell, you're the hero of the week for throwing a rave. All right, let's do a letter.
Oh, here we go. Oh, we got a lot of really good responses to people talking about. Apparently, it is not pica, which is what I said last time. It is pica, is what you call when someone has unusual cravings.
Oh, okay.
So this was a letter that came from a formerly pregnant, now a mother. No. Well,
maybe not. I don't know. It could go either way.
Back in early 2018, I was heavily pregnant with my daughter. At this stage, my blood pressure was getting pretty high and the doctors were getting worried for mine and the baby's safety. One day, I was reading a beauty magazine when I saw an advert for a makeup sponge. My mouth started to water at the mere sight of it.
What?
I was a bit weirded, though nothing of it, until I realized that I had the very same type of sponge in my makeup bag. I retrieved it. It was clean. I put it in my mouth, and it was so very satisfying.
Really?
Chewing on it, sucking on it, felt wonderful. I chalked it up to a weird pregnancy moment, cleaned the sponge, and put it to one side to discard. I told my husband, and he thought it was funny. A few days later, though, I found myself craving the thing again, and this time tore it to pieces. Still didn't swallow it, though. A week or so later, my husband gave me a different brand of beauty sponge to replace the chewed up one I had thrown away. It was not satisfying.
Whoa,
at all.
Sugar
I
free.
Needed one particular brand of sponge. Otherwise, I wouldn't be happy.
She wants that sriracha sponge.
I guess so. He fixed this. He bought me two of his sponges I preferred, and I happily went to bed chomping on the thing as I went to sleep.
Oh, that's a nice husband.
Honestly, you just roll with it.
You have to.
You got to. These episodes went on until I had our daughter by C-section in April 2018, and once she was there, the craving vanished immediately.
Huh.
So strange.
Interesting. Well, that's not, I mean, hey, that's good. I'm happy. They say they eat, they say when you're pregnant, you eat things like pickles and ice cream, which is kind of weird, or sponges.
There was also a lot of people who said they got absolutely sickened by the story of the other pregnant woman on the show when we were talking about a last week's episode of Last Podcast on the Left, saying that they ate all the vacuum dust.
Oh, this is one of those. That was our polyphagia episode.
Like, I have undiagnosed pica all my life. I'm absolutely compelled to eat dusty things like dry, unused, clean clay style cat litter, terracotta Crayola sculpting clay, wood ash, and sticks of chalk. Wow. It's like something comes over me as I start and I zone out, and when I come back, I've eaten a lot of clay or ash. Sticks of chalk is easier because I'll just have one stick. It's already a pre-portioned thing. I try to stay away from all of it because it's not food. But it's tricky. Something about a texture that sucks all the moisture off the tongue and that kind of processed poison taste. It's like sucking on a battery. I love it.
Wow. Okay. Hey, no harm, no foul. Just be safe. Because at some point, I would assume your body is like, that's not good for me. But okay.
Yeah, this shit's really, it's very, very often. These people we do. I worked at a camp for people with disabilities. We had a few campers who had had pica as well as Prader-Willi syndrome. Prader-Willi syndrome is another one where kids eat, and they don't feel hungry. They don't feel full, satisfied ever.
Oh, okay.
When a camper, I couldn't remember, this camper I remember who would ask about our next meal literally at least twice every minute. One night, we had a dance at the dining hall, and we all had watermelon earlier that day. And I found this camper reaching into the garbage and stuffing the watermelon rinds into her pockets for later. It was something that constantly needed to be monitored. I even heard once about a client my mom knew who had PW syndrome who had gone to a basketball game without his mother. He ended up eating so much because there was no one there to tell him, and he died from his stomach exploding.
Oh my God, that's like the movie. Movie 7.
It is. But that's just one of those stories, and we'll cover more varied stories next week.
All right.
It was interesting.
Well, thank you all so much for listening to this week's Side Stories. 2021 is off with a literal bang, and it's only going to get better. It must. I'm really excited for the second half of this year. I'm already thrilled. We have some tour dates coming out that we're going to tell you about.
Sure.
And, of course, we have our weed line coming out,
which
thank you all so much for taking our survey.
Yeah.
And, we'll keep you updated on all the things. We talked about
a little bit about this, but we're probably not going to have an official donation mark on this merch just simply because it's too late. But what we are going to do is Kissel and I are going to give some of this weed money to some form of charity. We want to find somebody that people that are helping people get out of jail for marijuana.
Specifically crimes. For drug crimes, people that are sentenced and, you know, should not be there. We want to help them out. So if you know a charity or if you know a lawyer group, something ACLU affiliated, something hyper specific, because of course we want to help those people out.
We do.
Freedom is not just a fun word. It's something we need to thrive for.
Yes.
Or
how about freedom, but not freedom?
You're an
How about that?
Why? Every episode the past month has ended with me being like, you're a moron.
This is how it is. I'm stupider and stupider in quarantine every week.
All right,
I live a life. Live your life inside of your home as if this your house will eventually be a place you can leave. Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, God.
You got to prepare. You better fucking prepare. And you got to love your preparation before you even get into it. And I'm telling you right now, again, I've said this before, up your booze now if you're waiting to go to bars. You're going to need to. You're going to want to get prepared. And you're going to want to start getting your
last.
I just mean it. If you're trying not to get clean, you need to go and start drinking harder now because you're going to get alcohol poisoning.
The
first time
worst
you go to a bar.
Advice you could ever
because,
give. But okay.
And you got to laugh. Just thinking about the sheer social vengeance you're going to wreak as soon as you fucking can.
All right, everyone. Maybe we should keep the quarantine going longer if that's the case. Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
Be safe out there, everyone.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.